This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Greetings, super friends. My name is Sonia Simone, and these are the confessions of a pink-haired marketer. For those who don't know me yet, I am a co-founder and the chief content officer for Copyblogger Media. I'm also a champion of running your business and your life according to your own rules. As long as you don't lie and you don't hurt people, this podcast is your official pink permission slip to run your business or your career exactly the way you think you should. So I spoke last week at a conference called Tribe Writer that was pulled together by Jeff Goins. And I was really impressed. If you're a writer, if you're a fiction writer or a nonfiction writer, I would make that a must attend next year. I think it's September 2016. So I accepted the gig because I like Jeff and I think he's a good guy and a talented guy, but I'm recommending it because I was really bowled over by the quality of information that was at the event. So I want to share a couple of thoughts that actually came to me as I was giving the talk and that I incorporated into the talk I gave there. And I wanted to share them with you. So I started my presentation, and I often do, by asking if marketing is evil. Is it inherently evil? And of course, my smart-ass answer is only if you're doing it right. But my not-so-smart-ass answer, my helpful answer, is that all marketing really is letting people know what you do, who you do it for, and what they're going to get out of it. It's just persuasive self-expression. We get very uptight about marketing because we have all of these connotations and associations. So, of course, when what you're selling is creative work, so writing output, or this also goes for art, music, what have you, there are going to be some additional considerations. It's not the same thing as selling dental services or fitness coaching or some kind of a physical product. And you want to keep in mind that everything that you communicate is a form of marketing. So, of course, we get it when we talk about our, you know, content on our blogs or, you know, content of our email newsletters. But communication is not just about words. It's also about things like what social platform you choose, how you dress and how you present yourself. You know, pink hair is a form of marketing. It's a communication signal that tells people certain things. And every piece of communication is going to be either negative, so it's going to push people away from you, or positive, it's going to pull people toward you. So, of course, you're going to think that all of your marketing should pull people toward you, but that's not necessarily true. You want to think about actively and consciously chasing off the people who are really not a right fit for what you have to offer. So, I don't want you to purely define yourself by what you aren't, but it does matter. What we reject is as important as what we embrace. So, you know, if you are out in the public world talking about the history of the Confederate flag and its historical significance, that's going to be a very different audience than a Black Lives Matter hashtag. They're different statements, they're different signals, and you're going to pull or push different people to you and from you depending on, you know, what kind of signals you send. Because, of course, you know, what we think of as tribalism, as tribal organization, has really evolved. Now we belong to a lot of tribes. So we might be in the pink-haired tribe. We might be in a political tribe or a religious tribe, a favorite writer tribe. You know, it can get downright culty. I mean, people who are Saddleback tribe members can see my new satchel from a mile away. And I've had many people come up to me and talk about it. When I mentioned the writer Brandon Sanderson at the event, a couple of people came up and just about grabbed me by the lapels because the people who love his work are a tribe. And as a matter of fact, there are two Brandon Sanderson tribes that have some overlap. There are people who love his work for kids, and there are people who love his stories for adults. So there are all kinds of tribes out there, and a successful artist, a successful writer, a successful creative being is going to create and lead a tribe by stepping forward and saying, this is what I have to offer, and you're going to try and pull the right people to you to form that grouping. And one of the things I do want to talk about, because it is a conversation about marketing and about getting the word out about your writing or your work, is it's really important to get over being uptight about making money. And writers and creative people have a really bad habit of saying, well, I'm not in this to make a lot of money. So let's talk first things first. You don't have to ward that off like it's some kind of evil omen. You might make a lot of money with your creative output. The odds are you're probably not going to make a lot of money from your creative output. But people who do, writers who make, you know, a good amount of money, quite a bit of money from their writing or their art or their music, do it because their work touches a lot of people. So if all you want to do is communicate and you don't want any money, you know, take out a billboard. I mean, you'll reach, you know, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, maybe, if it's in the right spot. If you have a complex body of work that you want to reach and touch and move a lot of people, money is going to happen as a product, an output of that process. So if you decide you don't like it, you can give it all away. But when you self-limit how much money you make, you're also putting an internal governor on how many people you're going to reach. That is the economy we live in. The more money you make as a creative, the more people you are connecting with your work. And in kind of the other direction, there are some writers who put money at the top of their list. They are in it to make money. They want to make a living from their writing. That is their primary goal beyond a self-expression goal. And some of these folks will start kind of wholesaling pieces of their soul because they think that that's going to get them where they want to be commercially. And that might work sometimes, but it usually doesn't. It usually simply flat out does not work. It does not create commercial success. So at this point in my life, I have met an awful lot of writers, and I have known and met some writers who are at the top of those bestseller lists. The people, in fact, a couple of people who are what you might call a name brand writer. And every one of them that I have ever met actually cares about the work. So they care about the story, they care about the characters, they care about the message, and they care about the reader. They have a real integrity for what they're creating. They have a lot of passion for what they create. Now, not all of them are brilliant wordsmiths. You know, they may not all be candidates for publication in the New Yorker or publication in a well-known poetry review. But they're not cynical. They're creating work that they care about. And because that work hits a nerve, they find commercial success. So the success that you find and the success that you build is going to come from some real authenticity. It's going to come from your individual voice. It's not going to come from trying to reverse engineer a bestseller. You have to care about it. And it is absolutely a balance. So there's nothing wrong with knowing what works commercially, with understanding what kinds of work people want to buy. But you need to come to that with your own voice, your own authenticity, your own point of view, and you need to only publish work that you're proud of. You know, we all produce work that's just total garbage sometimes. I mean, when you write every day, some of it's going to be good and some of it's going to be sort of not awesome. But publish work that you're proud of, and only publish work that you're proud of. So those enviable souls who are really wildly commercially successful tend to be the ones who just deeply, fundamentally enjoy what a lot of other people really enjoy. And so the work that turns them on is also the work that turns on a larger audience. And of course, it's not always true. However, in my experience, it's true much more often than not. Okay, so if we're going to talk about marketing creative work, we have to get to a point that can be kind of painful, which is that you are the product. And this tends to make creative people kind of barf. But it is true, and it is ever more true. So maybe there was some time when it was pure, you know, when it was only about the words on the page, when it was only about the work, and who the person was behind the words was totally unimportant. But that's not the world we live in. We live in this globally connected world where we like to know things about other people. We want to feel like we have a connection. And people really want to be connected to the writers and the artists who produce their favorite works. And something that actually occurred to me as I was giving this talk, and so I folded it in, was that writers and artists are the shamans of our culture. Because we make things out of nothing. We make something out of nothing, and that's magical. So we usually do not see it that way because we know exactly how much work goes into the magic. We know exactly how much, you know, ass in chair time it takes to make something out of nothing. It takes a lot of work, thought, focus, you know, preparedness, practice, all of those things. But to the audience, that act of creation is something magic. And in some ways, I think they see it more clearly than we do. So people need to know who you are because they want a little connection to the magic. They want some kind of connection to that spark. And because of this, it does not mean that letting people get to know you involves telling every boring detail, every embarrassing detail. Instead, I want you to think about yourself as a character that you create. And that character is drawn from the truth. It's drawn from your real life. It's drawn from things you've actually done and things you're actually doing. But it's skillfully selected. And it's relevant to the story that you're telling about this character of the artist, this character of the writer. And in practical terms, what that means is if your work has a lot of gardening and cooking, then talk about the gardening and cooking that you're doing. If you're a world builder, you know, someone who constructs a very elaborate, richly textured world for your readers to move around in, talk about that world. Talk about those little details. You can even include things that were not included in your books. They could be deleted scenes. They could be snippets. They could be short stories. And again, this is workable whether you are a fiction writer or a nonfiction writer, because really good, compelling nonfiction writers also tell stories, and they also construct characters out of the most important details that they assemble from the real world people that they encounter. And I mentioned Brandon Sanderson. If you know his work, you're probably doing a little happy dance right now because he has a truly rabid, loyal tribe of fans. He's very good. I like to watch what he does. And partly it's because he's so prolific that he gives a million different examples of how to market yourself. And I've included his site on the show notes for this show. You can find those at pinkhairedmarketer.fm. But, you know, it's not that hard. BrandonSanderson.com. You can go to his site. So he's got really clever things on the site. For example, he has a progress bar on the website so you can see where he is on different books. So he'll have one that's at 21% finished on the first draft, and another one is 100% finished on a proofreader on a second draft. And it's a little window on his process as a writer. One thing you want to think about with Sanderson is he does everything because he is so prolific. So he's got sample chapters, he's got deleted scenes, he's got news, book signings. Apparently he teaches, you know, other writers about world building. So if you're like a mortal writer who is, you know, has a normal productivity level, realize that that's not for the likes of you and me. He's really, really special in terms of his creative output. But like I said, he's a nice resource for ideas because he's such a mutant. And when I say mutant, I mean that, you know, with great respect, it's a good thing. So if I have a progress bar on my website about how my book is coming along, it's not going to be impressive. So we all need to find the right angle, the right things to share that are going to be interesting. Play to your strengths. Think about what will be fascinating for people to know about your process. And I want to wrap this up with a simple content marketing process for creative people, because I think a lot of us understand it in principle, but it's kind of nice to have some marching orders for something to just get out and do. So first, if you have any kind of anything to market, so it is just as true for writers or creative workers as it is for anybody else, you need to get an email list going. And you need to use one of the services that's out there that does this so that they can manage spam filters and keeping you on, you know, the list of good guys and all that stuff. So you need to get your audience, you know, book writers call it your platform. You need to get them onto an email list. Social is wonderful for reaching people, and it's wonderful for conversations. It's wonderful for listening and engagement. It's really lousy when you want somebody to take action. So social media is an awesome tool. Definitely use it. Use it to create relationships. Use it to get your content shared. But when it's time to ask for what you want, so you want them to go buy your book, you want them to go to a book signing, you want them to leave you a rating on Amazon, email is really the way to go. Creatives need to build an email list just like anyone else. And in the show notes, I'll include a link to a book we wrote, an ebook we wrote on email marketing that will just help you get your head around the nuts and bolts of that process. So one of the people I met at Jeff's conference is a guy named Tim Grawl, super, super ferociously smart about marketing books and getting a wider audience of readers for your work. And he had a very concrete recommendation, which I hope he won't mind if I share, which is he recommends twice a month publishing to that email list. So his example was maybe the first and the third Tuesday of every month. And here's how he outlined it. The first Tuesday or Wednesday or what have you, you're going to share something awesome. You're going to share a little awesome piece of content. So it could be a short story. It could be something valuable. It could be, if you're in nonfiction, it could be tips in your topic. It could be a great story. And then the third is about what is up with you. The third Tuesday of the month or the third day of your choice of the month is about what's going on with you as a writer. So do you have book signings coming up? Do you have a research trip coming up? This is where you focus somewhat on more of that call to action if you have one. And one of the things you want to do is think about, what do you want people to do? What would help you in your business to get more of? You know, and I say business because when you're writing for an audience, it really does become a business. Now, if you're just getting started and you don't have a lot of things to ask for yet, the first thing I want you to do is really try and brainstorm some. But one great thing you can do is you can recommend other people's books. You can say, hey, you know, if you're interested in the thing I write about, you should really get out and read this article or this book or, you know, this magazine article. So Ryan Holiday does this. He maintains a reading list. And he reads a lot. He recommends the things he finds most interesting. He does it as, I believe, a monthly newsletter. And then when he has a book coming out, he uses that list to let people know about it. And it's all done in a very low-key, relationship-building, useful way. It's not hypey. It's just, you know, it's just really interesting, good information. So once again, show notes. I'm going to give you guys a really good article Tim Grawl wrote about what to write about in your marketing. And again, you can find those at pinkhairedmarketer.fm. So finally, one of the hits of Jeff's event was Pamela Wilson's presentation on how to get that content created. Because marketing your work is not your work, even though it feels like it sometimes. You know, if you build the most brilliant marketing platform to market a book that you never get finished because you're marketing all the time, that's not smart, right? It's not a good strategy. So I've also put that post in the show notes. It's called A Simple Plan for Creating One Powerful Piece of Content Per Week. And it is a very straightforward, step-by-step process for producing content consistently. I've started to use it. I find it super, super useful. And it breaks down that content creation into very manageable tasks, 5 days a week. So you can take weekends off or whatever days, you know, 2 days off that you would like to take. And you keep moving forward without getting overwhelmed. So those are some of my kind of main thoughts about marketing your creative work. You could be a writer, musician, you could be a poet, you could be an artist, a painter, you could be a tie-dye artist, you could be a hula hoop maker, whatever it is that you bring into the world. I really want you to honor that. I want you to honor that magical spark that makes something out of nothing. That's really special. There are not enough people in the world today who are doing that. And you're special, and it is important, and I want you to honor it in yourself. So that's it for this week. I really want to thank you, as always, for your time and your attention. I never take those things for granted. You may know that the Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer are brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform. Thank you so much, everybody, and we'll see you next time. Take care.